Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Thank you for listening in once again, a new show from Stress to Authentic Success. I'm Danielle Sachs, your host, and can you believe it? We are already in January 2023. And as I'm saying, 2023 is a year where I am determined, and it is my truly deepest intention to give you even more info, inspiration, motivation, tools, and strategies to shift out of your stress and to move into your journey of authentic success. And I so wish it for you. There's health and wealth to be gained. And every show, we will try to help you out there shift out of that stress. And today is going to start already with a beautiful interview I'm going to have just now with Tiffer Hutchings and Tasha Dagviar. Now, Tiffer Hutchings is a qualified drama therapist working within the East London NHS Foundation Trust, but he is specialized in helping people with autism and learning disabilities. He works as a therapist as well for the Social, Emotional and Mental Health Needs School. But I just want to let you get into the world of drama therapy and see what it can mean maybe to you or to anyone of your loved ones. The same with Tasha. Tasha is an art psychotherapist, also with the East London NHS Foundation Trust, and she has been really helping in mental health in every way. So I can't wait. These two people could be my children. So I am so pleased to speak to young adults who are already so passionate for what they do. And you can hear it, I'm sure, in this interview coming. But let's see what they have to say to us about what art and drama and movement can mean to us to shift out of our stress. I'll talk to them right now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and I am going to welcome Tiffer and Tasha and say thank you so much for accepting this interview and welcome to the show.
Danielle, thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Danielle. I'm excited to be here.
Let's make this a really authentic conversation. I mean, two beautiful youngsters like you, and when I say youngsters, let's say young adults, and making such a difference in people's life. But I want to ask a personal question first, Tiffer, or let me talk to Tasha first. I mean, the women first, the powerful women first. Tasha, in your life, why are you the art therapist? What in your life happened that you are so passionate about art and helping people with it?
I think it kind of goes back to when I was a kid, really, that art making was always something that was there. So, you know, when you're young and you're bored and there's nothing to do, my mum used to work in a stationery company. She'd bring back all of these, you know, old bits of like files and like invoice paper, you know, those old like invoice, really thin invoice paper. So she used to bring back lots of this like cheap, like free, well, they're offcuts really. And she used to bring them back for us. And so that's what I used to use to draw on as a kid. Because we have like, you know, this sort of like posh art paper or like those posh art materials, and we used to use those, you know, the powder paints. I don't know if you remember the
yes
yeah we had those powder paints that we added water to,
Is that where you already felt you had a bit of a talent and a feeling with art? Is that where it started?
Yeah, and it was such a normal thing in my family, because my mum's side of the family, everyone did art, so it was a really normal thing for us to do. And because we didn't have much money, so that was the thing that was accessible for us.
And did it help you personally already in your difficult moments? Can you illustrate something like that happened in your life and that you used art to overcome it or something?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to actually write children's books when I was a kid. Wow. So I used to write my own stories. Tiffa, you were like this, being a drama therapist.
Yeah.
I used to write my own stories and I used to illustrate them. So I used to make these characters and these cartoons. And there'd always be like, you know, these... Like, it used to be quite sad stories, really, but now as an adult and as an art therapist, I can kind of see that it does sort of relate to life of these characters that were quite, you know, had gone through something really sort of like difficult, but somehow they'd become like, you know, these little like heroes or, yeah.
It's imagination, I think, that plays a role there. And, you know, to make another world than the reality, you make like a playful world in your, isn't that with art making? You are a bit in a different world, I think.
Yeah, you do. It sort of makes you sort of escape and to go into this own creative, like magical land that you sort of create yourself that's so different to the, you know, mundane, boring London, Southeast London life.
and Tiffer, tell us, what did drama do in your young life? What makes you today the drama therapist? What triggered that?
I think it was so important for me because I was a very shy child, I was a very quiet child. Oh. My name actually Tiffer, so my full name is Christopher. But when I was very young, I had a hearing problem. I had glue ear. So both of my ears were clogged up and I wasn't hearing a lot. So when my parents were saying Christopher, I wasn't hearing the crisp bit. I was just hearing Tiffer.
Oh, wow.
So this is how I've always known myself as my name and how it kind of stuck around. But already right from the start, I was struggling to kind of interact with the world and to hear and receive everything properly. But once that cleared up and I was still shy and I had teachers who were inviting me to tell stories or to be in plays. I remember very young being Oliver Twist, the story of the young orphan who is looking for love, who makes it through, and allowing myself to be seen and to transform and to play and explore different worlds. Play is so important for children.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm so lucky to have a family and brothers that facilitated that. Similar to you, Tasha, very higgledy-piggledy, getting into cardboard boxes and pretending there's boats in a big storm.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. All that was the very early roots, the way in, and it grew from there.
I can see when you say that, I just want to tell a little story here. I can see exactly what you're saying. And I see an image of my grandson, Louis, who is 4.5 years old. And when he comes here after school once a week, he starts seeing dinosaurs on the roof and the dragon, you know, behind the couch. And we play with it. And isn't it an amazing world? That's why I was saying to you, Tasha, it's a different kind of world that drama and art. It's quite similar as well. Now, let's talk about stress a little bit. What can, and any one of you can answer this question, what would you say in your life has helped you to overcome stress? Is it the art and the drama?
I think for me, absolutely, it's that kind of art making. And because you can do anything to art materials. You can kind of get out your anger, your stress, happiness, and you can create something and use that process of art making. And it's something you can see afterwards. So it's something that's quite like internal. Those feelings are inside and then they can sort of come out and you can see it there and sort of have that distance from it because it's now.
The fact
like
that you've expressed it, you're saying, the fact that you've put it out on the paper or any, is that the process? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It changes something, doesn't it? I think for me anyway, it changes something.
For you, Tiffa?
Absolutely similar. I mean, there's a difference. This is the beautiful difference between art and drama and movement. I use particularly movement as a form of stress relief. It's more ephemeral, though. You're not left with a product. If you're, say, maybe you've got a very simple movement practice, perhaps it's yoga, perhaps it's running, perhaps it's something more expressive like dance or like contact improvisation. Of course, the movement itself is stress relieving, but you're expressing emotions that can be held in the body. The body holds so much sometimes. It holds stress, it holds trauma, and when we move and when we express with our body, we also get distance with that, and we get to see it outside of ourselves a little bit, and then it's finished as well. It can be helpful to have to not have something as well, as much as it can be helpful to look at things and see them at distance as well.
Wow, thank you for the answers. I mean, that's beautiful. Now, what do you guys see in your patients, because you have similar kind of patients? Tiffa, yours are more specialized, more the autism and the learning disabilities, if I understood well.
Okay. That's right. That's exactly
so how
right.
How can you see that the art, the drama helps in your specialization in helping kids or youngsters, because it's mainly youngsters, hey? Kids with their stress, how can you explain on that?
So I think what's perhaps my favorite part of the work with drama and movement with my client groups, autism and learning disability, is that lots of my clients don't express themselves most effectively through talking. True. Some of them may be entirely nonverbal. Their yes. learning disability might render them nonverbal. Some might not speak at all because they have selective mutism. So in certain environments, whilst they have the capacity for speech, they entirely withhold it, say in school. So a talking therapy may not be the most effective thing or get you too far in that. But drama or movement, perhaps there's a character in a story or an arc in a story which represents perhaps something very difficult a child or a patient has been through, or perhaps it's more effective for someone who's got selective mutism to use movement exercises to express themselves and to go engage with the therapy through that when words aren't available. And that world is
beautiful,
so rich. Yeah, it's something special, Danielle. Honestly, it's the feeling of facilitating it is an absolute privilege, but it's such a deep and complex world beyond words.
Because Tasha was talking about process, but it is actually really a process. I mean, stress, we all know that stress goes into our bodies, the trauma, that whatever it is, it goes into our cells. So to express it is part of a huge process.
It's paramount. It's how being in the world through the prism of autism and learning disabilities in particular, it's how that becomes bearable, I think. And again, as we were talking about in our early experiences, the ability to play is so important in being able to manage the stress of the world. And so that's something that we also try to stoke through the drama and the movement. Perhaps it's game playing, perhaps it's something in a group.
Yes.
But play, movement, nonverbal work, so important.
Everybody needs it, not just everybody actually really. That's why I'm saying playing with my grandson is my best hour of the week sometimes, because that's when you forget all your daily things and you are so busy in that one focused play or imaginations or whatever it is. Tasha, how is that for you?
Absolutely. It's so similar, I think, to what Tiffa was saying, in that, because I work with children and young people as well. And
but
I
more, think yours is more mental health, eh?
Mental health, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it goes back to that play, I think, being that first language for kids. Mm-hmm. And if you think about asking, you know, would you ask an 8-year-old about their difficulties and how they're feeling, I guess, maybe you would, but I'm not sure what answer you'd get. You know, they've only been speaking for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, their brains are growing and processing. And I think when it comes to play, that's something that's so natural to kids. And I think the difference between, you know, me being an art therapist and Tiffa, drama therapy, there might be slightly different outlet. So it might look slightly differently, but actually, kids are playing, and we're trying to get them to be playful and to meet them and to have that common language that we both understand.
Beautiful. Yeah. So do you have a story or something to tell us about what art did or the drama did with a patient of yours and how it, what resulted at, and how, is there a story that one of you can differ, like a beautiful, just to illustrate on what it can do in their daily life and in our daily life, to be honest?
I can talk about how, in particular, drama and movement helped to manage stress in some students, for instance. So I obviously have to talk within the bounds of confidentiality, but
of course,
I can say that one person I was working with there at school, they struggled to bring this person down from when they became very agitated or very angry or upset. They couldn't figure out how, if they would ask them how you're feeling, very direct, very verbal, but couldn't get the way in, couldn't figure it out. And it was through movement work and through work with lots of different objects, paper and squishy balls and things like this, that we were able to figure out ways for this child to manage and express those emotions in a more safe way. It was that first meeting I remember so distinctly, in terms of, it wasn't a session, it was a check-in, but in terms of me offering different things, different objects, squishy balls, bits of paper, and she tore the paper into lots of little different bits of pieces, and then we turned it into snow, and we made a wish for the paper. And in this way, these kind of objects transform from the mundane into something magical. The action itself is kind of stress relieving, but then it also transforms into something dramatic, into a dramatic reality, which is distanced. And this was something really helpful for that person I was working with.
Wow. Beautiful illustration. Tasha, any example?
That sounds so lovely too, but I'm just imagining it now, like the smile. I was thinking about a young person that I worked with actually, who was only about 7 years old. And it was similar to your what you're saying, Tiffa, that someone who, you know, was quite misunderstood and, you know, being quite like naughty, I guess. I use that with inverted commas at school and acting out in different ways. So actually he was really quite tricky to kind of like to meet him or to, you know, to meet his needs. So he came to art therapy, and again, he was just able to express himself, like using the art materials and creating, actually he would create a lot of stories and art that would get destroyed, and he could really get his anger out and use that process and use that language actually, because before he couldn't use that language. So all of his difficulties would be expressed through, you know, I don't know, throwing chairs in school or in class or like, things like this. So it was able, he was able to sort of channel his feelings, but through the art making and through the art materials in our sessions. And he was actually able to really, I mean, he was a little artist really, because he took on this art making at home as well. And so it was something that his mum used to do with him if things were quite challenging at home. So it didn't just sort of stay within the therapy, you know, once a week, this isolated therapy where they come into a clinic or, you know, then they go out into the world. Like he was able to sort of do that at home. And even after I worked with him, it was from this school, and his mum used to show me pictures of his artwork. Even like months later, she would be so excited and she'd say, look what you made and look what you created. So art therapy, I think for him, this isn't the way of everybody, but it's quite a nice story, because for him, it sort of started his artist, you know, career. It really sort of triggered something in him in a really positive way of like, you know, he can create this stuff and create this artwork, and he loved it and he was so proud of it. And then he sort of saw other people being proud of it as well. So he found his own.
It's the confidence and the self-esteem that grows.
Beautiful. It was so nice.
So maybe he becomes, you know, that's how a little bit like, not your story, but he might become an artist or an art therapist, or because you've given him that passion for creating something, and that, you know, that makes such a difference in somebody's life when you have a passion, when you have something you can focus on instead of the negativity and all the problems and the challenges. You can focus on what you create and what you can do well. And what is that? Is that also something that art and drama has as a result, that people are more confident and more, that self-image and the self-esteem comes, is stronger?
I think sometimes, it can really, you know, be like that for some people. But I think also, you know, art making and telling stories can be really difficult for some people. And it can be a really hard journey. But I guess, you know, our purpose as therapists is to try to guide them, to be alongside them as well, like whatever that looks like, at their own pace as
well. Yeah, I think the important thing is that the creativity, the drama, the art can be the language through which these really difficult things are acknowledged and they are looked at. So these things which are causing stress are not pushed to the side or ignored, but really worked through and held in a way that is comfortable for the client. I think I often say that the beautiful thing about the art therapies is that they have an indirectness, which is less confrontational than usual talking therapies. Yes. If you ask someone, how are you feeling? Even if you ask me that question, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't really know. And we've got these big brushstroke words like I'm sad or I'm angry. But a gesture and a sound or a little painting, a little piece of clay can be so much more specific and so much more expressive and so much more comfortable for someone who might not like to be, even be looked at, someone who may not even speak. So I think the beauty in the arts therapies is that we are providing and facilitating the language for this expression, which can absolutely build self-confidence, but is also a really important expression of those difficult feelings.
Yeah, and in processing trauma, for example, like I remember that, and I'm a physiotherapist from education, and I remember that once there was a woman who told me that her child had gone to art therapy to learn, you know, to draw and to create and to, like you guys are doing. And I remember her telling me that her little daughter had drawn a picture of her grandfather and her in, like, with black and everything, because the grandfather had shown some kind of abuse, like, you know, not a good, clean behavior. And the child had been able to tell this through the drawing. And isn't that what happens in your practices, that you see sometimes things that are going on at home, that the child can express the trauma that they are actually living? They would never talk about it, but they would draw it or create it in a different way, or express it in a play or something. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And also, I think some people may not know as well. They may not know that that's something that might not, you know, not be okay or not be right, but it might be something that is difficult for them or doesn't sit well with them, and it comes out through the art making or the play or the movement, and then that can be something that's explored in that session between you. Or it could be something that they know that they might want to talk about but can't quite find the words as well.
I just want to say it because I did recently a show on domestic abuse. And I think when you see the children, I think art therapy, drama therapy is such a beautiful way to give them the chance to express what's going on at home. Tifa.
Yeah, it's such an important moment and such an important part of our training when a young person or a patient is making a disclosure through the art form. They're not telling you directly. So I'm thinking of an image I encountered recently from a client where they had drawn a black and white room, which they described as being in the middle of nowhere. And outside is the void. Outside is nothing. All the paintings have blank faces.
Oh, yeah. I see.
There's a fridge, which sometimes gives good food 50% of the times and 50% of the time gives bad food. And this is such a complex image, and it's such a complex thing that is being expressed from the child here, What is this loneliness? Is this a sense of abandonment, a sense of not being able to connect with others in the world, an expression of some of the autism, some of that experience of seeing the world through the autistic prism?
Yes.
It's slow, it's indirect again, and it's hidden in the artwork, but it's our job not always to analyze or to gather information, but to be aware of when those things are being expressed.
Yeah, and you're getting to kind of see parts of their inner world.
Yes.
I think you're kind of getting that privilege, like you were saying before, Tipper, of you can see some of, you know, of their sort of like brains ticking over, or you can kind of see their inner world that I think through words isn't always possible.
Amazing. Now, let's go into what tip, is there a tip or an advice? Imagine that the listener here, wherever he or she is listening from anywhere in the world, has either a family member, maybe themselves, maybe somebody, a colleague, or who is in a really stuck situation. It doesn't have to be autism. Maybe one of the children is autistic. Maybe it's somebody with mental health problems. What would you, with your experience in art and drama, what would you say for anyone listening here is a good tip or advice, a number one advice or tip to give to, from the art and the drama side, to get out of the stress, or to approach that stress or shift out of it?
I would say, number one, listen to your body. Your body will be telling you, if you can't identify the feeling in your mind, what is your body telling you? Do check in with yourself. Do a scan from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. Where are you tense? It can be in unexpected places. There's the classic places. It can be in the jaw or in the shoulders, where all the commuting stress is. But it can be in funny places as well. What's in the tummy? What's in the hands or in your toes? And you don't have to analyze or figure out or be like, ah, this means this. But check in with the body and see where you're holding tension. And then simply, you can rub your hands together, generate some warmth and place it there. It's an act of kindness towards yourself symbolically, but as well as can be physical release. The body is always holding stress and difficult things and traumas, and you need to pay attention to it and listen. It's trying to communicate and tell you things. So yeah, beautiful. Keep an ear out for it would be my tip.
Beautiful. Yours, Tasha?
Oh, well, I have to follow that now. That's great advice. I think I'm going to do that after this. I would say to play, to take a moment to play, and whatever that might look like for you. So for me, because, you know, I'm an artist by background, so for me that would be, you know, getting some pens or pencils or clay and just taking a moment to just make whatever that might look like, to play around, to do some doodles, some squiggles. But for anyone that could be, you know, if you're into music, you might want to, you know, create a little tune, like get some pens, pencils on the desk, or it could literally be anything. But I think to take a few minutes, 5 minutes out of your day and play. It might be putting some music on, jumping around the room, but just find what that play is to you and express it.
And is that tip then what you both are doing to get out of your stress in your life? Because I can imagine that both of you in the evening, I mean, you've done beautiful things, but it's also a heavy task, a heavy job. How do you deal with that?
Well, a really important thing that we have to do as therapists is have boundaries around our work. A really important part of the session and my work is the bridge out. What's the bridge out of that work? I often imagine myself at the start of a day, maybe donning some armor or some,
yes,
or putting a little field, yes, around myself to protect myself from things landing too close so that I can't contain or hold them for my clients. And at the end of the day, it's very often a brushing off, or the kind of physically working with the body and brushing off anything that may have landed a bit too close, anything that's uncomfortable, removing those hooks. Going through those physical actions, it's a really important way for me to bridge out of my work. And then indeed, Tasha, dancing in my kitchen.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, getting Lizzo on and going for my life. Yeah.
What is it for you, Tasha?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, I would go for a run. So I like to run. And I think that can really kind of, you know, like we've been saying today, to have that connection with your body and to feel that shift and to feel tired, you know, to feel physically tired. Because I think sometimes, you know, we can all feel emotionally tired from the day, a busy work day. But I think it's important as well for your body to, for you to get a bit puffed out, however uncomfortable that might feel, but to get a bit puffed out, sweat, have a nice shower afterwards, and then feel quite tired, and then to feel your body recover again, I think can feel so nice.
Yeah. I'm asking that question because, of course, I'm a therapist as well. And as I said, as a physiotherapist, I was working physically, you know, massaging them, doing manipulations, etc., in the body, and we never learned in our physiotherapy studies, we never learned to set those boundaries, to distance ourselves from. So I could, and I'm a highly sensitive person, and I could actually at night sometimes feel the things that the patients were feeling because I was in their aura. I was actually really working on them. So it's been since I've been doing the mental health and the coaching and the stress, and I've learned to actually set those boundaries, which, because I became ill through, you know, through picking all the negativity from other people. So I think it's so important for our own stress management to do that kind of thing. So thank you for that answer. Now, is there anything you guys would like to add to, you know, to finish off, because time goes quickly, but is there anything you would like to add, like a quote you live by or something that you would like to say to the listener if they are in a situation of that you guys can help with or something?
Do you know what? I would actually say that I think with the creative therapies in particular, people might feel like they have to be good at it. So to do art therapy, they might think you have to be good at it. Or to do drama therapy, you might have to be a great storyteller or a great, you know, or dance movement, you have to be a great dancer or a great musician for music therapy, but that isn't the case at all. So I think, you know, during this conversation, to sort of encourage people to, you know, to pick up a pen or to, you know, to move around, you don't have to be traditionally good at that. You just Great. Need to be able to give it a try. And I think most people will be able to give it a try and to be kind to themselves during that process as well, that it doesn't have to be this unbelievable art masterpiece, because that isn't what it's about. It's about expressing yourself.
That's definitely one for the perfectionists out there. If you are a perfectionist and you think, yeah, but I can't do that. I mean, you know, my neighbor does it 10 times better than I do, so I won't do it. That's the kind of thing. That's maybe just a reason to do it. That you think you're not good at it and that you might actually be surprised of what comes out of yourself. Because if you've never done it because you think you're not good enough at it, you might be surprised when you start doing it, how wonderful it is and how what it does into your body and into your mind, isn't it?
You froze for a second then.
Oh, okay. Then that's not meant to be heard by you guys. So Tiffer, anything you want to add to anyone listening here today?
Yeah, I'd like to say two things, actually, riffing off what you were saying a bit earlier, Danielle, in that I'd like to just invite people who, although they may not be directly working in what they would consider emotionally challenging jobs, perhaps you may be a physiotherapist, you might be a teacher, you might be someone who works with people a lot, to check in and consider what you're picking up from that interpersonal work and what that work with people is like and what you're holding, which you might not be aware of. Scan that body and check in with yourself, because as you said, Danielle, it's so easy if you're not trained or if you're not aware to be holding things that aren't yours, which you might think are yours actually, and might cause you a great deal of stress. So I would invite you to take a moment to consider and try to separate out what you might pick up from others and what might be your own stuff. And then lastly, I'd just like to give a big old shout out to all the arts therapists who are working I think very often in challenging settings, very often at the edges of society, in the forensic units, in the schools, I think the beauty of the arts therapies is that we can reach the most remote people sometimes. I think
yes,
very often
I agree.
As arts therapists. Yeah,
thank you for mentioning that because I really agree. We don't realize it, you know, how many of them are out there working in terrible circumstances, but so passionate about helping others and doing things with them that, yeah, thank you for saying that. And it, the same counts for both of you, to be honest. You know, young adults who are so passionate and sacrifice, you know, a lot, I think, to, you know, to help people who otherwise maybe in society wouldn't, you know, find their way. Maybe by art and drama, they can find a way to be themselves. Would that be correct to say?
I think it would be. And thank you, Danielle, for those kind words. Yeah, it's a growing profession because the need is really great at the minute. So it's an exciting time to be an arts therapist.
Yeah, and Tasha, it's not just for children and youngsters and people with problems, you know, it's for every single one of us. And I think that might be a beautiful thing to say as well today, that if you are feeling stuck now, take a pen and a paper, start drawing, or go out as Tiffa was saying and do some movements or a body scan or anything. But really, this is such a beautiful way to actually shift out of your stress.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, quite a lot of the time, like, we might feel like maybe we're having a bad day, but we don't know why. Or we might feel a bit stressed, but we're not sure why. So even doing something like going for a walk, you know, going for a walk around the block or in the woods or wherever that might be, and just noticing, taking a look around. Maybe there are a few twigs or leaves on the floor that you might want to create something and then leave it there. Or just giving yourself that time in your day that could be literally 2 minutes.
Thank you both. I think I'm going to dance in my kitchen tonight. What do you think, Tiffa?
Yeah, me too.
Love it. I often do it in the bathroom, not in the kitchen. But I'll change environment and maybe that, you know, that will...
Switch it up.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for this interview. I will play a little music and then come back to the audience just now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you so much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Oh, wow. Welcome back. And wow, this was such a beautiful conversation. I am so pleased that we talked about everything that can help you, your loved ones, your colleagues, the youngsters, the grandchildren, the children, anyone around you. Isn't it beautiful? First of all, let me make a little summary. Isn't it beautiful and interesting how we often meet our passion and mission already in our younger years? Look at Tiffa and Tasha, how in their family, in their youngest years already, they met their own passion and purpose. And today they are helping to make the world a better place in their own unique way through art and drama and movement therapy. I am so pleased I had the chance to talk to these two beautiful people, because when you hear how they find a way to deal with stress, how they advise us to go into play, to go into movement, to go into to really expressing yourself, because art and drama are actually a language to express yourself. It is through drama, through movement, instead of the talk therapy. We all know that psychotherapy and psychologists and coaches, and we all try to do through talking to feel better. But listening to these two people today really makes me realize, and I'm going to actually really apply this to my own life and in my own practice. I'm going to encourage myself and my clients and my family to do so much more forms like art and movement and drama, to actually express yourself and your feelings to whatever is sitting there, right there in your body, because the body holds stress and trauma. We all know that. And the art and the movement and the drama therapy are all ways to express. It's a language that helps us to express our feelings, our needs. And I think it's such a beautiful way because, first of all, it doesn't cost you anything. Take a paper and a pen and you draw and or go and dance in the kitchen. It is absolutely amazing that so close by, we have these strategies and tools that we can use immediately to actually shift out of our stress. And I really asked Tiffer and Tasha also in their personal life how they shift out of their stress themselves. And it was actually beautiful to hear that Tiffer really finds it important to use boundaries, to use like a shield when you work with other people. And I can really say that it's true that by the end of the day, you need to brush off all the load of emotions, the negativity that you have had when you're working with other people. Even as a physiotherapist, I never learned it at school. And so today it is important that I do my meditation, that I do, if I want to be the therapist that I love to be and that I'm meant to be, I need to protect myself and set boundaries. And so we can do that in many different ways. And Tasha was saying that she's really connecting with her body, but also going like for physical release, like for a run, because she's also sometimes physically tired, so that, you know, the body gets physically tired. And that's a different tiredness than to absorb all the negativity during the day. So I thought that was really a good advice as well. Now, isn't it true that these are important times in our society, in our global economy, in our global social life, in our global climate life, in our global anything that is happening out there in this global world, in this really a place where we, our planet, where it is so important to be human, to be alive, to feel human and alive. And I think art, drama, and movement, when I hear these young adults speak today, I think that I have myself maybe forgotten a little bit what this can mean to us. So exciting times to do art and drama, to use this language to express yourself in any way. I can only advise it to you to do it. And I really also believe that what Tasha was saying about you don't have to be a perfectionist in this. You can just be yourself, express yourself. It is so relieving. It's a stress relief to get those feelings out, whatever way you choose. If you prefer to paint, to draw, to make an artwork, whatever it looks like, if you prefer to move, to dance in your kitchen, or to go for a run, or to dance and really do a classy ballet performance, whatever it is for you, whether you do it on a local level, on a national level, on an international level, just in your home, it's all fine, because art and drama and movement really can help you shift out of your stress. That's what we heard today. And I cannot thank these two young adults, Tiffer and Tasha, again. Thank you so much for this lovely conversation. And I hope that you out there are inspired to do something this week, even today, maybe tomorrow. Please do not postpone it. Try to express yourself non-verbally in a different way today or tomorrow, so that you have brought out these feelings that have been maybe there for quite a while. I'm here for you. If you need me in any way, contact me at danielle@danielsacks.com and I'm here to listen. But for the meantime, I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sacks. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesacks.com.